Welcome back to Around the Block on CHUO 89.1 FM. That was A Pile of Leaves by Terry Gomes, who is sitting with us in studio right now. Welcome back to the show, Terry.
Thanks, Nick.
How are you enjoying this?
It's great. I'm really enjoying my time back at my alma mater.
Great. You don't come back here very often, do you?
No, but I think I will start making a point of it because it's been a really interesting experience just walking around the campus and thinking of the time that's gone by and looking at familiar sites that now look pretty much the same. I mean, the only thing really different is the mobile technology everywhere, but otherwise, the campus and a few new buildings, of course, too, but otherwise the feeling of being here is like I never left.
That's really interesting.
Which is a great feeling.
I wonder how a lot of alumni would look at this, because I think a lot might come here, those who graduated any time before, say, year 2000, and they would say, oh my God, there are about 100 new buildings and they're all monstrous.
Right.
Because even in my time here in the last 5-6 years, it seems like the campus has changed dramatically. But that feeling is still the same, especially at the north end of campus.
Yes, definitely true. And I find because I'm always looking for other sources for writing material for other things in my life, so I tend to reflect on things that have gone by and things I'm looking forward to as well, of course. But because those memories, I keep them fairly close, I think in that way, the connection to coming back here didn't seem very foreign. I mean, I was walking around. I was still carrying a gym bag, which is what I carried when I was a student here. So it felt very much like I could be going to class in 10 minutes, but I'm not going to do that, though. <so. laughs>
Maybe we should continue the story then. You have, in our story anyways, graduated from the university,
right.
And you've embarked on a whole new world, the brave new world, the non-academic life once again. And let's work our way towards this album that you've released,
okay.
Loose Ends. Let's fill in the gaps. What was next?
Okay, well, when I was in, first of all, I entered the music department in a Bachelor of Music program, and I was in that program for 3 years and enjoyed it so much, I pretty much only took music-related courses. So in my fourth year, up to this point, I was teaching guitar privately at the university, and that was a way I, helped pay for tuition or whatever.
That was where you met Mark Dillon, was it not?
Yes, exactly. Mark was a student that responded to an ad, and he was just one of my guitar students, and we found out very quickly that we had a lot in common, became great friends, and, it's been like 23 years, and it's hard to believe. So while I was doing that in the university, I was also playing in a classical guitar and flute duo. So we played a lot of weddings, mainly receptions, and some private parties. So those were two ways that I helped to finance my university education. But when I reached my fourth year, I realized I did want to try teaching in a classroom setting. I had only taught individual students up to that point. I wanted to give teaching a try. And I realized that I didn't have the other courses that were required for me to go to teacher's college. So I had to change my Bachelor of Music degree in my fourth year to a BA Honors in Music, which, was okay. It was not a big deal, but I had to do that in order to take these other courses so I could go to teacher's college. So I ended up graduating and ended up going to Western in London. I decided I would go to London because it was closer to home. My family is from Mississauga. And went there and graduated teacher's college and started teaching in London. I taught there for about 8 years and really enjoyed it. I've always pretty much taught the primary level, and I like teaching kids at that level. It's they're fun to work with, easy to motivate. They still listen to you most of the time, which is great. And so
they haven't figured out that they don't have to.
Not yet. It doesn't take much longer, but that's the way it is for the primary level. And so once I. When I got married, my wife and I decided we would eventually move back to Ottawa. So I moved back to Ottawa in 97 and resumed teaching here with the Ottawa Catholic School Board and have been there ever since. But I reached a point, I promised myself when I left university that I would not completely give up what I studied at university, because I know a lot of peers that I had did. They went into other things, real estate, law, accounting, whatever, and they completely left that part of their life behind. And I promised myself I would find a way not to do that. So I taught full-time pretty much about 12 years or so, and I had always sort of planned that one day I would try to find a balance between my musical life and my teaching life. And I think over the last 8 years or so, I've certainly found that, and I find it very rewarding, and I'm very happy that I can do both of those things. I mean, they're both jobs to me. They're both work. So when I leave my teaching job, I go to my music job. When I leave my music job, I go to my teaching job. And that's the way I think of it. And I think it's important to do that, especially if you work independently. And as I do, you have to have a lot of self-discipline. You have to be organized. Otherwise, things that you do on your time outside of school would not happen unless you had that initiative.
What is your arrangement right now at work, at school? When we talked before, you explained this to me.
Yes. I teach Mondays and Tuesdays and alternate Wednesdays, and I have a teaching partner that would teach the alternate Wednesday and then Thursday and Friday. So the week is divided in that manner.
Now, when I went to school, at least at my school, that didn't exist in the primary days. What did the students think of that?
I think the students really enjoyed it. Initially, it's a bit of an adjustment to get used to two teachers, but they usually have two teachers anyway, an English and a French teacher. So in this case, it becomes three teachers because you have your two English and a French. But I think they enjoy it because once they get settled in, they see the different personalities, different skills, different abilities, different talents, and I think they embrace that. And I think it's good for the kids. I think it's good to have, you know, to see two different faces and two different approaches to doing things. You know, because no two people are identical. Even though you're covering the same curriculum and the same material, you often approach things differently. So I think it's great for the kids, and I think they really respond well to it once they get settled in.
Well, now then, let's talk about your personality and what differentiates you from your partner in the classroom.
Oh, that's going to be a tough question.
you have a musical background.
Yes, but so does she. So this is great. My partner, Lisa St. Louis, is also very musical. So it works out very well. So the kids get a lot of exposure to music, and we try to bring as much of that as we can.
That's interesting. Was that deliberate?
No, it just works out that way. Sometimes it happens that way. You know, because I've had a partner last year was also very musical, and I've had other people as well in the past. And it all depends. But everyone has their different strengths, and they share different things to the kids. So I don't have. I'm not artistic anyway in terms of visual arts, and I've had many partners that are. So I've been more than happy to let them cover the visual art side of things because that's it's an ability I don't share. And all the partners I've had have been excellent in that area. So
let's talk about what you do share with the students, the musical stuff. How do you incorporate that into the classroom?
Well, for the most part, I do try to infuse a lot of musical theory, even at a young level. So every time I select a song to teach the kids, it has a basic musical concept tied to it. It could be anything as simple as a certain rhythmic pattern, or it could be differentiating between major and minor keys just by listening, you know, just in simple terms, things that sound happy, things that sound sad. So every song is chosen to teach a certain musical concept and also hopefully a song that they will enjoy singing. So most of the songs I pick from a wide variety of things, and my partner has other contributions as well. So I think they get a nice balanced view of music in general, which I think is important because if they're only growing up listening to mainstream top 40 radio, it's a very, very limited view, I think, personally.
We're going to have to take a break, but we'll come back and we'll talk more about the evolution of your career as it leads to Loose Ends, the album that you just released.
Okay.
But before we do that, let's play a song. Can you introduce the next one you want to play for us?
Yes, this song has a little unusual antecedent. I was having Chinese food and opened a fortune cookie at the end of the meal, and I pulled out this proverb, which many people are familiar with, that goes, never trouble trouble till trouble troubles you. When I read that proverb, I just thought it was so beautifully rhythmic. I said, one day I will write a song based on this. So I kept the actual fortune cookie fortune. I kept that, and a couple years after that fact, I did come back to it, and I said, oh yes, this little phrase was really captivating me. So I worked for quite a while to try to find a melody that would be that would really stick in someone's head. But lyrically, it's very simple. I consider the song kind of fluffy in that way, very simple, but I think I'm pleased with it because I think the melody is quite strong, and it was all based on this little fortune cookie and that fortune I read that day.
It's catchy and it gets stuck in your head. So here it is, Don't Trouble Trouble on CHUO 89.1 FM.